around the world, this is Paper Cuts with Brad and Jay.
I'm the one you love. I'm Jay. Thanks so much for stopping by. Over there's Brad. It's his show.
It's his show. That's why I'm the host, and we just love Jay.
Now you know it's all natural. I mean, you know, nothing's rehearsed, right?
No, absolutely nothing is rehearsed on this show.
God, you just suck life out of here. This feels like
you've got a lot grayer since we started this.
I have.
Double your pleasure, double your fun
with Laurel Hightower and Bo Johnson. We are live.
Jay, we need to talk about this intro.
Thank you. That was awesome.
It was.
Let me cough. Yes.
Yeah. But it was stuck at the end there, and I was like, I'm leaving it in just to make Brad mad.
Hello, I thought there everyone. Was like a euphemism I missed that you were sort of coughing over, and I was like, "What? No, what happened?"
Not totally. What's up, everyone? Welcome to a special Monday edition of Paper Cuts. Tonight, you get to see a couple of your favorite people along with Brad and Bo. So this would be pretty cool. This would be a good show.
Jay,
this would be...
Wow, shots fired already. Good God. I'm about to just boot you off the episode.
It's so early.
Yes. No, really. Big night for us because it's a double book release. Partay. Right?
Partay. Is that the how one you say it? Hold your pinky up when you say it like that?
Do you have a drink to hold the pinky up?
Yeah. You go pinky up.
I find myself just doing that automatically sometimes, according to my kids.
Like, Chad, why
I'm drinking a Mountain Dew, and sometimes it's like, you know, why are your pinky up, Dad?
At least you're allowed to have a glass cup. Mine's plastic.
Yeah, because it's a fancy Mountain Dew, you know what I mean? Hightower's here. Hey, Laurel. Thanks for agreeing to come back.
Thank you for hosting it. Yeah. This is like my tradition.
Yeah. And Bo Johnson's making his second appearance. Bo, thanks for joining us from the other side of the world. Oh, wait, you're just north of us. Okay.
You're just north.
Yeah. So both have, what, some news to tell us? You know, maybe a new book.
I think Laurel has a book coming out tomorrow.
Is that what's going on here? Okay.
Yeah.
I think someone had a book
I had one come out today.
Yeah. If we're going to go chronologically, let's go with. Damn it.
Wow.
Why doesn't it get? There we go.
Oh, right. Wait, I got it down. I mean, he is.
Thank you. Okay, that's down, easier Jay. For you, Jay. All right. We're just going to Brady Bunch like, this shit. I can only point.
Me and Laura point, and then Bo and.
Should we just start the show over? I don't know where this went right away. So.
It's like at least 78% my fault, and I'm sorry for it.
So, Laura Hightower here tonight to celebrate the release of Silent Key, which is tomorrow.
Comes tomorrow. Yep.
Yep.
And Bo Johnson for the Abram Files, which is a Bishop Ryder book today.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yay.
And together it's a double book release partay. There. We're back on track.
We've got twin wood chippers that we're going to just, you know, roll on through.
You could win. A wood chipper tonight. Not sponsored by
wood chipper.
Yeah. The shipping on that is just
Bo does the wood chipper. I'll send a submarine. No problem. I'm sure I can totally afford that.
We need to find a wood chipper sponsor. I don't even know who makes them. John Deere. Some. I don't know. Somebody
probably. Black and Decker. I don't know.
What kind do you have in your books?
You know what? That's the thing. Everybody thinks I use a wood chipper, but Ryder never has.
Really?
Until now. Well,
Until
next installment of the Bishop Ryder books. All right, so where do we start? Should we just call Bo out right away and talk about
let's call Bo out
last episode when he was here and said that, you know what, I'm done with everyone. I'm done with Ryan.
Ready for this. Yes. So I was done for about 10 months, but some people talked some sense into me and I got out of my own way, and I'm glad they did, and I'm back. It's good to be back.
Just
like that.
Well, not just like that. Wait, you guys don't see the times in between, but I am back. But it's nice to be back.
It is nice to have you back. I was absolutely thrilled.
You were one of the people that helped me back. Yeah.
Well, I'm glad because
I will call out Sean Cosby and Steve Stred and Paul Garth. Those are four from the top. There was many more, but those were the big ones.
I want to ask about, so you always do the Bo's Book Nook and you, for for some reason, all the books are always dedicated to Bo, which is really cool. But your book is dedicated to Rob. It's just something. They just happen to be dedicated to Bo all the time. But your new book is dedicated to Rob Smith. Can you talk a little bit about that? And Rob is here in the chat. So,
So what happened? Wait.
Is this going to be one of those moments?
Oh, yeah.
No.
Okay.
No. No.
Do you have the after school special like piano music so that we know that we're getting a different?
And I have no tissues either. So if you do start crying, that's on you. there was this Bishop Ryder anthology that we were going to do. And Rob wrote this banger story, just a killer story, which went in a direction that I've never even thought of. So as I was writing the Abram Files, I was just writing, but I didn't have a through line. I usually like a through line to get me to the end. And his story gave me the through line. So if he didn't write his story, I wouldn't write this book. So that's why it's dedicated to him.
Ooh.
Thank you, Rob.
That's pretty nice.
Yes, thank you, Rob,
for doing what you do, making him write this new book. So, all right.
In the Abram Files, is this all after Bishop Ryder?
It's set in a post Ryder world. But because I've always written a Ryder story out of sequence, I still do that with the Abram Files, so I can go back into Ryder's story, and you know he can guest star in his own narrative now.
And
Bishop Ryder's pretty much done everything.
Pretty much, yeah.
Except a wood chipper, evidently.
Except for
or a podcast. Yeah, he's never done one of those. Yeah.
There you go, Bishop Ryder podcast.
Yeah,
he's
that probably the get banned real feelings. Quick. Hey, get banned real quick.
Bo, you should just do a podcast yourself. Ask Bishop Ryder and
throw on my mustache.
Make people believe that you, make people believe you're really Bishop Ryder, and then talk about the killings and all. You'll have so many people calling the cops on you and the FBI say, there's a murderer on Spotify or something.
Yeah. If you listen to some of the podcasts and on there's one with this guy named Jay. Jesus Christ.
It's terrible. It's the worst podcast I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah. There's one where the dude named Brad, he's looking for a new co-host for like 3 years, 2 or 3 years now. Yeah. So
he desperately needs
one. By the way, according to someone who's been on the show a lot, it's Brad's show.
It's Brad's show anyway. So
I'm just leaning into it at this point. I'm,
Yeah.
I said what I said, Jay.
Which was like 9 or 10 years ago. So,
in Twitter years, yes.
I won't let it die. So.
Just real quick, we need to shout out Wayne Finland because he is on here and he's in Scotland, which is what, 5, 6?
Wednesday. Yeah, it's Wednesday now.
Is it already Wednesday? Thank you, Wayne. Thank you for showing up. And Wayne came to AuthorCon last year and I hijacked him on the last day and dragged him to dinner with us, dinner at 3 p.m. Sorry, Wayne. But anyways, he is an absolute delight in case you were ever wondering if he was just as awesome in person. He really is. So thank you, Wayne, for showing up.
Yeah, he's super nice.
Top shelf for sure. And if I could just add something, Wayne Finland did my last two covers.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Yes. And the Abram Files. Yeah. Yeah.
Nice.
I'm indebted to him for sure.
So with the Abram Files was, when you were taking your break, were you writing these stories during your break, or did you start after you came back, so to speak?
No. So, I did write one little 700 word story just to see what it would look like, in a different voice, after Ryder. But then I didn't write anything till I got maybe 8 months later when I got COVID last August, and I'm quarantined in a room for 8 days. So I really didn't have much to do. And that was really the start of it. So I was sitting there for 8 days and I wrote probably, I would say, 15,000 words.
Did you have a fever during COVID?
I did, yes.
I would love to see, did you write some crazy shit during the fever time that we don't?
Well, there's one story called Killer Whale Tank. So we'll see. Yeah.
Killer Whale Tank? Is that what you said?
Killer Whale Tank. Yeah.
The title of that is deeply horrifying to me. So awesome. I've seen Blackfish.
Have you read Wellfall yet?
I haven't, but I have it. But I haven't That's read really it yet. Good. Yeah, good.
Have you I read hear it, good Laurel? Things yet?
No, I have it. And it's one of those things, I keep picking it up and I keep looking at these reviews that say, don't read it before bedtime. And I'm like, How close to bedtime is safe? Because I do like like water is deeply terrifying to me.
Right.
And then there's also, I feel a little bit weird because I didn't mean to have a cover that's kind of similar to Whale Fall.
I wasn't going to bring that up, but it is close.
I know. And I didn't like, I had, yeah, that wasn't me. You know, and like, I, when I realized, cause I think Daniel Across, like at one point was like, oh, this looks cool. Is it a submarine thing? I was like, oh my Jesus. I didn't, I swear to God, I'm not the deep impact of your Armageddon. I promise. It's not possible for it to be the same story. Yeah. But yeah, that's been a bit awkward. And there's this part of me that's like, God, I really hope no one's like, oh, look, a submarine, that's got to be, you know, a diver, that's got to be Whale Fall. And then like, the fuck is this? Not Daniel Cross, and I'm really sorry about that.
Do you have a copy, no. Brad? Did you read it, right?
I read Whale Fall. It's very claustrophobic, yes.
I've had a copy for a while, but I plan on trying to get to it when we take a little break. It's like it's hard for me to read anything outside of the show because I try to do research actually and you know, read your guys' books. For you know, we're one of those shows where we try to read the books of the people that we have on. So
you know, so you try to book break, like yeah. people who write novellas like as yes. much as possible.
Yeah, yes. maybe poetry. Or, you
we'll
know.
Put chat books in there.
Yeah, just two-page essays. Short attention span, you know. So I'll get to it eventually. Yeah. All right, Bo. So any new kind of killings that, well, that you've touched that, for the first time?
That's
well, no, I mean, yeah. see, well, I've read a lot of the other Bishop Rider stuff. And so nothing yes. will really shock me, I don't think, this time, unless you tell me, hey, is there something here that's going to really, really shock me? And I'm not talking about me. I'm not talking about me. Yeah. I'm talking about for the reader. For
yes,
everyone out there.
Understood. There is a new kill, my new favorite kill. Like my old favorite kill is Ryder tied this guy's intestines to the hitch of a van and took him for a ride. And that was always my favorite for years. But then I have this new kill in the book, which involves a forklift. So I'll just leave it at that.
That sounds interesting. Yeah. I'm already going through the possibilities of what could happen with a forklift.
Yeah.
Well, I always loved the suitcase one. The suitcase one was always my favorite one. I love that one.
Well, thank you. I try not to duplicate, but over the course of 130 stories, it's bound to happen.
Are you running out of kills on your wheel of kills? Or
I always say I'm going to, but I seem to find a few more or to do variations on what I've done already. So.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. You can make adjustments and just change things around. Yeah.
Yeah, because the forklift makes a comeback in some of the stuff I'm working on now. So.
So with this one being in a different voice, was that hard for you to get out of Ryder's voice and into another character?
It really wasn't. Like I've always said Ryder's like rage and angst, but Jeremiah has always like been more brash or more outspoken. And it was freer to write Jeremiah fully than Ryder. Cause Jeremiah was always like his sidekick or side character. So it was the bulk of it was always Ryder, but now writing him fully, it's so much freer. He seems freer anyways. That's the only way I can describe it.
Yeah. Do you miss Ryder at all?
Oh, yes. Terribly. But you know what? And then, I've thought too, was it right to kill him? But I'm like, it felt like it was right. And I still think it's right, but I do miss him. But it's nice that I get to revisit him in these. Like the great thing about what I ended up doing is, you know, some of the stories that Jeremiah has been in, now I can attack it from his angle and Ryder, the side character. So I still get to write him a little bit, but just he's not the main character anymore.
And because the Bishop Rider stuff's not in proper sequence, like you mentioned earlier, who's to say you can't go back and, you know, one night, 2 o'clock in the morning when you're awake, that's a perfect Bishop Rider story, you know? Who says you can't go back to do that?
Oh, no. Yeah, you could. Yeah. So. In between, yes. Like the untold stories of Bishop Rider, for sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That could happen. But I just think that would, it might be a cheat a little bit. But the way where I'm going now, I think we have to stay in the post-Rider world.
Bishop Rider in space? Come on. I have all these. We'll talk afterwards.
I've seen Jason X. No, I don't think so.
Okay. That's kind of where I was going to go with this.
Yeah.
Okay,
let's go.
I think you can get some creative kills in space.
Yeah. Bishop Rider takes Manhattan?
Yeah.
Wayne's got a question. Do you ever think there's going to be a novella or novel might happen, Bo? We need the longer stuff, Bo.
Oh,
I know. I've always been I'll never say never guy, but it just doesn't seem to happen. I don't know how to write the boring parts well, so I just omit them and they turn into short stories that connect. So, but my friend Bobby Matthews, he came up with this. He goes, "You write episodic novels." And I'm like, "Oh, I like that. I think I'm going to keep saying that instead of connective short stories, right? So, and this book, I should say, The Abram Files is the most linear book I've written so far. Like, yeah, okay. I still play with time, but a lot of the stories are concurrent, like they're right in a row. So it'll be a little different than my older books.
You say you don't write the boring stuff well. Just don't add any boring stuff. Just make it all one big.
Wow. That's the thing. To make it a novel, I think I need those things, but I don't know how to do the stuff in between well. I like to
maybe that's why I lean towards the novellas, because you have lesser time for the boring stuff.
Yeah.
Chad Williamson says, don't give Bobby too much credit.
Oh, don't give Bobby credit for anything. Oh, what have I done?
You can't take it back now. We're live.
What's the reaction been like so far, Bo, with the people you've sent this to, people who bought it? What's the reaction? Any kind of reaction from people?
I've only had two reviews, and they're positive. It's nice in the post-writer world. And then I've had the people that took an early look at it. All but one of them got back to me, and they seemed to all like it. My check's cleared, so it was nice of them to give me those words. Yeah.
So what did you do? Did you send it out to a handful of people just to see if you're on the right track first, or how
does that work? Well, usually it works like my brother's my first editor. I edit it as clean as I can get it. Then I send it to Down and Out. But the way they work, I have to send it out as clean as I can get it to other authors for the blurb. So they're nice enough to look past some of my grammatical errors.
There were like two. I mean, it was very, very clean. Yeah, very, very clean.
You spelled Bo and Johnson wrong, but other than that, it was good.
One of these years, I'll get
blinking
it.
Off the. Are you guys seeing this? Are we all blinking off the square?
I think it's you, Jay and Brad.
I saw you do it.
I think it's you though, because you're moving in slow motion over there.
Damn it, I'm hardlined in and everything.
It's your AOL dial up. It's like what it is, you know, Brad is using the Kentucky's internet. Yeah. So that's most of
yours. I'm using all the Kentucky internet.
Sorry, I had to go there. All right.
We got a question for Laurel here.
Let her fix her. Are you good, Laurel? You think?
Okay.
I think so. Let me know, because I wasn't noticing. Now I'm seeing Brad go out again. So if it's all slow-mo, let me know. I may have to like shut down and restart, like restart the router or something.
You're frozen. You're kind of freezing again. So if you want to restart.
Okay. That's a possibility. We can, if you want to try that, we could already stall.
Yeah. BRB.
Now that Laurel's gone, let's just
now that Laurel's gone, yeah.
Now that Laurel's no longer here, everyone.
Bo, you got a pretty big blurb from Jordan Harper, which is cool. Nice blurb from him.
Oh, that was I came in yesterday afternoon. It was very down to the wire, and it was very nice that he got to look at it. And yeah, that was a crazy blurb. We had that writer's strike going on, so I understand life gets in the way. You know, I didn't think it was going to come, but it came, and so I'm going to ride it. I changed my Twitter header, and I put it on my Twitter header today. Oh, crazy!
Do you know him personally, or was this like a shot in the dark?
Well, I'd read him years ago, right? And I love his. Right. I wish I could write like him. He's just he's so good. If anybody hasn't read Jordan Harper, go read Jordan Harper. You should. And then I met him for the first time in real life last month at BoucherCon. So, and we talked for a little bit, and I ended up getting whisked away to this after party, which was so cool. I tried to pay for a beer. My money was no good. They brought out this buffet at midnight. And so it was awesome. And I was talking to him in a little bit. And so anyways, maybe that's why it happened to you. I don't know.
Okay. That, so when you go, do you get to go to cons like that very often? The 20s.
No, that was my second one. Yeah. Okay. Second one in 7 years. So.
Is that pretty good?
I recommend it though.
I was gonna say, would you recommend it to other authors to go to these conventions for just, I guess, the networking aspect of it?
Oh, totally. Like when I first went, the first one I went to, I was so green, terribly green. And a lot of authors took me under their wing, right? And that's anyways how Not Bo's Booknook and all that stuff started. But this time, after, you know, 6 or 7 years of knowing people online and actually putting faces, meeting in real life, it was so much. You know, there's real life's always better than online life, right? So it was very cool. I recommend it. Yes, totally.
That's a quote. The real life is always better than online life. That's a t-shirt right there. Because it's not for everyone. Yeah. Because you probably have somebody, like somebody's going to watch this. No, what's he talking about? You know, keyboard warrior, like, you know, whatever.
Yes. Will he get my tone? Yes. Yeah.
Exclamation point. Yes. So let me ask you this, if we can be serious for a second.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, serious.
Just for a second.
This is scary.
So yeah. So you were here last time. You told us you were done, but then you had people pushing you in this direction to do this.
Yeah.
Are you continuing now after this?
I'll never say never. Like I think I said it wrong when I put it out there. I was done with writing. I'm never going to be done with writing. I think I'm always going to write, but I was done with publishing, and that's what it was. And then it turned into this thing, and I tried to get it out there. Like I meant publishing, but it was already out there. So anyways, I'm working on some stuff now. I'm not saying it's going to be another book, but right now it's 50-50.
Okay.
I got to find my through line. So.
Yeah. Right. Okay. See, that wasn't too serious. It didn't mess things up, Brad. That wasn't.
No, it didn't mess things up. I survived.
Do you ever think you'll step outside of the Bishop Writer universe and publish something there?
Well, that's the thing. I thought I was going to with Bishop, you know, killing him, right? But keeps pulling me back in. If everyone knows that. Just
thought I was out.
Yes. And I enjoy chopping up rapists and pedophiles. So I don't know.
That's a t-shirt right there too.
Yeah.
You have to blur everything out because you can't say all that stuff.
Right. I noticed on TikTok, you can't say kill or murder. It's got to be unalive, or they slap a.
I've noticed that too. Yeah. When they have somebody talking and they have like the captions, it's something totally different. So,
yeah.
Unalive. Yeah. That sounds.
Smart. Laurel's back.
Is Laurel back?
Is it working?
I think you're
good. If you can hear me.
Can you all hear me? Seriously, is it working at all?
Yeah,
I can hear you.
Okay, good. Because we restarted the router, and that's like all we've got as far as tech goes. So,
okay. Well, now you're pausing again.
Shit.
I really think it's because Brad's using all the Kentucky internet. No, I think his kids are streaming Disney.
Yeah, kids are in bed, Jake. Because they gotta go to school tomorrow. Laura,
your audio is
fine, Laurel, though.
Okay, so I'm just freezing visually. Well, if it gets if it gets annoying, just let me know because, you know, there I fucking go again.
You're okay.
Seriously. Okay. I don't know. Spectrum's been having outages for like the last week. They haven't said anything about it here.
Way to go, Spectrum.
Thanks, Spectrum. Thanks for nothing.
They were not sponsor.
There is a question.
Well, yeah, we do have a question for Laurel.
Question for Laurel.
Laurel, if you could hear us, we have a question for you.
What is your favorite length to write? Short story, novella, or novel?
That is a great question, and it might be split into two parts. I'm going to say what is my favorite thing to publish is a novella, because it's very streamlined for me, I feel like. It doesn't mean it's always going to be good, but I feel like I follow it from A to B pretty quickly and I can get them usually polished up and done. But novels, diving back into Silent Key to get the edits done, I really, really love novels. I really, really love the immersion I get with the characters and the opportunity to really tweak their world a lot. So I work for litigators. I don't have a straight answer to literally any question. It's always going to have caveats to it. So.
So, joining us. We were talking to Bo first 20 minutes or so about his new one. Laurel's got a new one coming out tomorrow called Silent Key.
This was
from Flame Tree Press. So that's something. So you have two books tonight to pick. Get ready. You got Bo's to pick up today. Laurel's to pick up tomorrow. Look at that. Is that a hardcover?
Yeah, hardcover.
It is. Yeah.
Show off.
I sort of didn't realize that was a thing, and then it came in the mail. So that was cool.
Nice.
So I know you've been working on this one for a while because
you told us about this one. I think our first episode, like 7 or 8 years ago, you told us about. I have this nice special novel I'm working on.
Did I call it a nice special one? That would be awkward.
Yeah, you was like, here's breaking news on Brad's show. I have this special nice novel that I'm working on, and that was about 7 or 8 years ago. So that's
the best good to book see. You'll it's ever good. Read. If only I can get it finished. Hey, Matt.
Hi, Matt.
How long have you been working on Silent Key?
I think since 2017, because I think I started it after I turned Whispers in the Dark into my agent. And then I was like, well, I'm not going to twiddle my thumbs. I'm gonna write something new. And then I just sort of got really immersed in that. Yeah. So, and I may have mentioned the time, like it started at 200,000 words. Wrote at 200,000 words. So yeah, it has gone through several iterations of edits and, you know, revamps. And my media agent, Ryan Lewis, is responsible for it being more streamlined, because he was like, he read it and he was just like, you've got to get under 100,000 words and here's where the middle should be and you need to clean all this other stuff. And I was like, oh, that's on point. Okay.
So you really cut half out?
Oh, more than half. Yeah. Cause it's like 89,000.
Yeah, at least more. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. There was a lot of subplots, a lot of threads and this kind of thing. And I saw, it was really funny because I saw a review early on where somebody said, well, I figured out the mystery early on. I was like, kind of wish I'd emailed you because I didn't know. And it took me years, which is not, hopefully that's not construed as any sort of like slam on the reviewer. I just thought it was funny because I was like, I'm so glad you did because I had nothing.
So did it drastically change, like as far as the plot cutting out over half the book, or is the basic through line still pretty much the same?
Basic through line is I cut out just a whole lot of, I mean, I changed sort of the nature of the haunting to an extent to make it make a little bit more sense. Like I'd say the first half of Silent Key was like when I was still sort of figuring out outlining and whether I should do it. And the answer is yes, I should. And I should always make sure I'm doing it from the beginning. So there are a whole lot of like things to kind of circle back to and tie together. Mm-hmm.
What is this probably gives away a big chunk of the book. What is the silent key? Can you say what that reference is without spoiling?
I mean, I think so. Do you think, do you feel like it's a spoiler? I don't know. I don't.
Well, I mean, aside from the title, I mean, like it's obviously referring to something, but I was just wondering is there a way to, just to get people excited about the book?
But also like back when we were just tweeting like titles and stuff, at one point Michael Clark guessed it. He was like, oh, is it this? I was like, yeah, actually. So I'm like, you know what, if you can Google it and get it, I think you're good. So Silent Key is actually in ham radio shorthand. It is an operator, a ham radio operator who has gone silent. They're dead. So a silent key just refers to somebody who used to transmit and who has now passed away. So my husband actually found that term. He is really expert at vacuum tubes. Mm-hmm. But it's a thing, and he just really like thing. It just is. Yeah, he's very technical minded and he's like a completist, so he started researching, figuring them out, and they use them in a lot of amplifiers still actually. Right. And so he's got a real eye on all that stuff. But he told me about that term when he discovered it. He was like, that just sounds like something that should be in a horror novel. And I was like, you're damn right it does. And essentially it just kind of went from there. So I still didn't dedicate it to him though. Isn't that rude? Like he's
because it's dedicated to Bo Johnson. That's why.
Right. Yes. It's gotta be Bo. It's not, it can't be, it can't just be my husband. That's boring.
Right.
Matthew says he loves Silent Key. It's his top 5 reads of the year.
Thank you, Matt.
And he also just finished Old Man Rider the other day, and it's a killer book, Bo.
Oh, thank you very much.
Agree.
Yeah, I miss that guy.
How did the Flame Tree Press connection happen, Laurel, with this one?
I realized that they were open to unagented submissions, and I had just, I think I did a whole bunch of rewrites, and then it was ready right around the time that Tor Nightfire did their like 1 week of open submissions. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know that they ever read any of those, honestly. And again, that's not, I don't know how it works, but I just know like I never moved anywhere in the queue. So after about a year, I withdrew, and then I was like, well, dude, Flame Tree. So I subbed it. I didn't have any expectations on it because it was unagented. I didn't, I don't know. I still, and this is weird because like it's an odd dichotomy that I love the character of this book. This is the only thing I've ever written that I regularly reread for fun. Read. But I know that, I don't know. I can't get a feel for, I don't know. I'm not sure. And so I didn't know if they were going to like it, if anyone was going to feel it, find it coherent or anything. Cause it's like, I'm working on it and hammering at it for like so many years. I'm like, I don't know. I don't know what it is anymore. Here it is.
You just said this is one, the only one you wrote that you reread for fun. Is that, so do you reread it regularly and like, I didn't even know I put that in there. Oh my gosh. I forgot about that part.
No, not on this one. I've been too close to it to forget anything I put in it, but I think it's more just like it's part of what I love about novels is just that immersion with the characters. And so there were, in this book, a big part of the time I was writing it was my husband and I were trying to get pregnant with my son, and I was sort of slowly descending into hell, you know, where I just didn't want to go out and do anything. And this was very much my happy place. I could go in here, I could make things happen the way I wanted, and I could hang out with my characters. And I still have that kind of like warm feeling for it. Like sometimes when it's like, I'm either in a reading slump or I'm too, do you ever get like too anxious to read horror, you know, where you're just like, I'm kind of just, you know, I'm already up here. So I just want to go to something comforting that I know how it ends. Right. And if I don't like how it ends, I can change it, you know, that kind of thing.
But it kind of sounds like you wrote your own friends.
I didn't have any of my own, Jay.
That's just the way it was setting up for a second. It sounded like you were like, you know, I didn't have anybody. I just go to the characters I wrote, you know, and talk to them. They talk to me. I'm sorry.
I'm
sorry.
It's actually, no, that's hilarious. But it, like in a way, almost is. It's not that I didn't have friends, but this is, and you know, to anyone who's had to deal with, you know, fertility struggles and whatever, one of the most isolating things about it is that you start out all gung ho and you're okay, and it doesn't matter, and everyone has kids, and that's fine, and I just want to be one of them. And then after a while, you're like, dear God, if one more person talks about a baby, I'm gonna throw them through that fucking plague ass window. And it's not like, and I'm, you know, I'm with it enough to be like, that's not an appropriate reaction. So it was more just like, hey, you know, I can't expect the world to stop, and I can't expect people's lives to stop and for them to stop celebrating the things and just living their lives. And so I was like, I'm going to step off to where, you know, I'm not this asshole angrily brooding over my bourbon, you know, kind of thing. So yeah, anyways, that was probably too deep, but I think that's a big part of the reason why I feel really connected to it, you know, is right. Yes, Jay, I wrote friends who were nice to me.
Hey, I've seen horror movies about this. Okay. There's a lot of horror movies about writing your own friends. We see the connection.
But, you know, it's, you can give them their own dialogue, except honestly, like even in like sheer fantasy, like, you know, oh my gosh, I would never publish this. I can't leave plot holes in. I can't.
Oh yeah.
No,
well, it's a good thing. No. You don't want to leave the plot holes in.
No, I can't stand them. I can't stand it. So,
well, what's so really bad now? Like, if she was to do one of her rereads now that it's coming out tomorrow, like if she reads that hardcover she has in her hands and finds a plot hole, my God, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? Nothing's going to. It's not going to happen. I'm just saying. But what if?
I was like on the phone with Don Doria. Listen, stop the presses, literally.
Cancel
Laurel, that's not how it works. It's on demand. I don't care.
Yeah.
So with you starting this book, you said 2017, and obviously you've progressed as a writer, gotten better as you've gone along. Going back, do you feel like, oh, this older stuff where I started is not up to par where I am now? Like, did you have to change anything like completely along the way?
Yeah. What I ended up doing with it was I actually just rewrote the whole thing after Ron gave me his notes and we discussed like how much had to be done. Is there a dog, Bo?
Yes.
There is a dog.
Look at it. Yeah. Shoulder.
Oh, wait.
That's Sandy. Yeah.
Hi, Sandy.
Yeah. She probably wants to
smell. She's, she's so expressive.
Dad, what are you doing with these people?
Yes.
Your snack to be had. Same, Red. Same.
I'll be back in a minute.
Okay, you're good.
But yeah, I rewrote it from scratch because when we talked about like how he's just, I don't know, Ryan Lewis is really, really, he gives incredible notes. He's really has an eye for story and a way to explain it in a fashion that helps you like figure out how to actually resolve it. So yeah, there was so many threads and I just decided to rewrite it from the ground up. And so hopefully with that, I was able to kind of even that out. Cause yeah, I mean, for sure, like you change as you write, your voice changes, you know, your skill level changes, things like that. So yeah, I wanted to make sure it wasn't uneven like that. But yeah, I mean, as far as like plot holes go, like that was part of the thing. I had it loaded on my Kindle. So I was constantly like rereading it while we were going through the editing process and like writing like, wait, she didn't know him yet. Fuck, go cut that out. So like my editor, Don, did the major developmental edit first. And then I worked with a very lovely editor named Josie. And she, like, every time she's like, okay, here's the PDF to approve. And I'm like, so by approve, here's 50 more changes. You know, and she's like, oh, okay. She was always really nice about it, you know, but it was like, I was catching things right up until the last minute. So.
Right. So are you that meticulous with your novellas as well? Or is it just,
oh, yeah.
Is it different? Okay.
Yeah. I read everything aloud as one of my final passes and I find so much stuff that way. And then, yeah, I just kind of, you know, stay with it and kind of make notes as far as like, and it's kind of nice, like reading it through that way, like a story, like loading it on my Kindle as opposed to reading it in manuscript format gives me more the feeling of reading a book and helps me, you know, kind of remove myself from the process enough, hopefully, to be able to catch those. Thank you, Lewis. That is so kind. Vote more Butcher.
I know. He was kind of, I just got a copy of that in the mail the other day. It's sitting over there.
That's vicious. It is delightfully vicious.
Yeah. Hey, I've been telling people about that for like 3 years. No, anyways. So would you say...
Hipster.
Exactly. Would you say Silent Hill is like just...
Silent Hill.
Silent Key.
Look, it is Monday.
You want, give me credit for Silent Hill. Monday. I love that.
Do you want credit for Silent Hill too? Okay, Silent
Key. I'll take it.
Compared to your other writings, like we were just talking about, is this like a whole different level for you, do you think? Or do you, like, have you opened up like the next, like Laurel 2.0 now with your style, with the way you've got everything in this new novel? Is this like your tops? Are you like, okay, I'm here now, you know?
Have you broken the walls down like Red was talking about last time?
You know what? There's a part that feels the opposite about it. And it's, I don't know. It's not like I think it's like, oh, dude, this thing sucks. Nobody look at it. But I feel in ways like that with like Crossroads and Below. Yes, we'll do that. I'm sure there's no IP problems at all with that.
It would be the most brutal book of all time.
It would be very brutal. Actually, no, I love that idea, Matt. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know really how to express it without seeming like I'm being sort of like critical of it or something. It's just, I think it's that, I don't know. I've tried to never write the same thing again, you know? Uh-huh. I don't know. I feel like I'm just sort of like rambling at this point, but it doesn't feel like a 2.0. What it honestly feels like is me writing something that I'm really in love with the characters and I don't know, I guess it probably wasn't written quite as much with a reader in mind, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. It was in a lot of ways kind of self-indulgent, I think. And hopefully I smoothed out some of the self-indulgence of it as I was doing the editing. But yeah, I don't know. This is one that, I don't know how it's going to be received and I'm okay with that. I just really like it. I really enjoyed writing it. But yeah, I know it's very, very different tone-wise and length-wise and everything else from Below and Crossroads. And, you know, everyone knows this. So, yeah.
I mean, I think it's already getting received pretty well, right? I mean, people are already boasting about it a little bit. So,
yeah, there's some good, there's some bad. You know, I tend to like after I check out like the first few to see how things are going, I tend to try to not read reviews because it, again, totally reviewer space.
Right.
But I mean, really any criticism, you know, is valid, but it's like, it's one of those things that I kind of figured out when I was writing below, is that I am going to say what I mean to say. And once I've done so, it's out of my hands, and it's however anybody interacts with it. And that's fine. You know, and so my hope, kind of, because again, it was such a comfort to me, you know, to do, and it was such a fun thing for me to do, and such an enjoyable thing to spend time with these characters, that, you know, for the people who do like really delve into that, like, you know, love the relationship aspect and love all that, like, I just hope that enough people find that, to find that kind of like happiness or comfort or whatever, you know, to, that it reaches people that way as much as it can. I'm not even drinking, and I'm making no sense. Well, no,
you're making a lot of sense. Trust me, maybe because I am drinking, but you don't have to worry about, you don't ever have to worry about negative reviews on this show. We don't ever talk about them or anything. So
no, Jay never brings up anything negative ever.
It's already been like 30 minutes and he hasn't, so it's probably.
Wait, Megan was in the. Did we talk about her negative? Never mind.
I haven't read Silent Key yet, but I have it. But I've read these three behind me, and I recommend them to everybody. You should all read these.
Thank you, though.
There's Megan. It just took her a second. Yeah.
Well, real quick.
Am I going to? Okay, so I've read Silent Key.
You actually finished your book? Oh my God, Jay.
Dude. I try to be on it for the show, at least for the show. But
I'm messing with you.
For the world of the Lord of Hightower fans. I mean, obviously, Below is tops for everyone.
Why is that, Jay?
Okay. Uh-huh. Do you think people are going to shift and change their and put this one higher?
Do you think that you're going to be supplanted by Eric Morgan? Is that what you're concerned about?
That's what I'm worried about. Hey, we have a giveaway. Let's do some giveaways.
Real quick, though, okay. I do want to ask Laurel and Bo, do you all ever write for the readers, or do you always write for yourselves?
Well, I write for both, but I write for myself first.
Okay.
If I can't entertain myself, how do I expect to entertain the reader? That's the way I look at it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a very good way to look at it. And again, working for litigators, there's not a straight answer to that question.
No straight answer.
I don't actually know. I don't know. I know that I write for myself to an extent, you know, because I have to enjoy what I'm doing. And I will say, like with Crossroads, to be perfectly honest, I never expected it to get published. It was an idea that came to me. It wouldn't let go. I ran through it. I got it done. And then when I got it done, I kicked it off to Sam Kliesnik, and, you know, and she wanted it. And Below, again, like, you know, that was just like I didn't really expect much to come of either one of those, really. And so it's an odd, like,
the question to go with Below. How'd you get signed to Ghoulish? Goes with Below.
How'd I get signed to Ghoulish? Max is going to slap me, but
you basically manhandled Max and said, publish my book.
I did. I did. Yeah. I was like, so I have a very specific request. He was like, God, that is specific. Okay. We'll take a look at it. But yeah, that's Max. Yeah. Max and Lori are absolutely fantastic to work with, by the way. They're really, really good. I'm excited to have another book coming out with them next year.
Ooh, interesting.
Yeah, with an ultra creepy Trevor Henderson cover that Tiny is not going to allow me to display.
Is it a novella?
Oh, you got another Trevor Henderson cover?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Nice. Okay, cool.
Yeah, that's creepy.
Novella or novel?
After I did some expansion edits on it, it's about 60K. So okay. Kind of a short novel. Yeah.
Is it Day of the Door? Is that what it is?
Yep. Yeah. The Day of the Door. Yep.
Door. Exciting.
Well, you both have, do we want to get to these giveaways before we run out of time here?
Yeah.
Who's doing what? Like, we were talking backstage, nothing's rehearsed. Sorry, there's no guys.
Plans.
There's wow. We're never gonna
I'll go first. So, the first person to answer this question correctly about Bishop Rider, I will mail them a copy of the Abram Files. So two members of Bishop's family were murdered years ago. Which two family members were murdered?
Ooh, I know. Can I win the book? No, I'm just playing.
Are you going to sign the copy that you're going to mail? Or is that
if they want, I will, yes. I'll never assume. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you can win a copy of the Abram Files. Which two members of Bishop Ryder's family were murdered?
It starts him on the path. Yeah.
Are we going to just play Jeopardy music until somebody gets
it? Laurel can go too. Yeah. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Do I have to put it in the chat to be fair?
I don't think we have to wait. Yeah.
Okay. His mother and a sister.
Oh, no. I meant, oh, sorry. Yes, I will nail it to Laurel. Yeah.
Shit. I'm drinking. Oh, my God. I thought this went.
You run it. So
it's delayed. So
I thought.
So the first person Laurel to put wins. That in the chat.
Yeah, put it in the chat.
Yeah, what's your address?
God bless America.
If they're listening, somebody's gonna put it in the chat because it's delayed. So
whoever gets out of the chat first will win the copy of the book.
Well prepared and everything. You had a legit question. You thought it out. You did it, and I was like, hey.
I'm gonna steal this book. Yeah,
but nobody's put it in the chat yet.
Laurel stole the prize.
They're just gonna let it keep going to increase the awkwardness.
Someone write it in the chat. Just do it.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah. Okay. All right. So on that note, Laurel, how are you doing?
I don't know. So I have I'm gonna do a paperback of Silent Key.
Hey look, someone got the correct answer.
Yep. Yay, Red! Right. Thank you for putting me out of my misery. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I think Laurel needs to drink so she's actually more coherent.
Yeah.
I just
we
got to
make her drink next time.
Very direct instructions, or I'm not going to get it. Oh. Okay, yeah. So I have a paperback of Silent Key.
Just give tell her the answer so we can run her. Give
yeah, just tell me the answer. I don't know the question, so just tell me the answer.
How are we going to give this one away? Let's say.
How are we giving it away, Laurel?
Okay, well, it's trivia that you wouldn't really, I guess, know unless you've read it, but it's perfectly reasonable to guess on it. So what kind of generally maltreated dog breed does the male lead take care of? What does he have a pack of? So just name dog breeds and think of ones that are you know, somewhat mistreated. And the first person to give the correct answer. Go, do it.
I
know you don't know. Husky.
Husky poodle.
Poodle. No, I don't know.
No.
I haven't read it yet. Yeah.
Jay, do you know? What's the answer, Jay?
Maybe.
Oh, Red's got one. Oh, Russell's got one.
Pit bulls. Yes, well, that is correct.
Got it. Yeah.
She gave it away when she said mistreated ones because that's,
often mistreated. Yep. Hamlin got it, pit bull.
Who's mistreating the German Shepherd, Red? Come on.
Labradoodles?
Labradoodle.
Labradoodle. Rob.
Just a herd of Labradoodles.
So Russell's the first one I saw that came in.
Yeah, so if you want to send your address to Jay and Brad, I will ship you, and I'll try to ship you the right book, not ship you something totally unrelated, just because.
ship them Bo's book. Yes. Russell, you can go to our website and send it in like the contact form, and we'll get that info over to Laurel for you.
There you go. That'll work. You might get Laurel's new book, or you might, I don't know.
You might get something completely random. We don't know.
Get like a long lost Clive Barker book or something. She's just going to grab one from her shelf and send to you. Yeah.
You're just going to get a box of Grippos and they'll be all crushed in the bag.
They'll still be good though.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you know what's up here? I don't know if you guys have it yet, but up here, like Bo's farther up than I am from you guys.
Yeah.
But the honey barbecue Grippos have made their way to.
Have they?
Yeah,
I have not had that. Have you seen those, Ben?
Well, I went crazy with them. I had like three or four bags for a while, right? And then I ate a bag the week I got COVID, and I've lost my taste for them. And I'm like, you know how when you eat something and you get sick?
It ruined it.
Yeah.
It did. It did. So it's going to be a while before I get back to. But yeah, they're honey barbecue grippos. And I was like, no, it can't be better than your. It's not better than the original, obviously, but they're pretty freaking good. I don't know if
grippos are good stuff
yet or not. So.
I don't think I've ever had a grippo.
It's basically a barbecue chip, but it's like the perfect barbecue chip.
It is.
It's got some really bad fatty grease made out of some really bad fatty grease. That's so bad for you. That's how good it is for you.
It's like a pork rind.
No, it's a barbecue chip, but it's kind of like thin.
Jay ruins everything.
You ruined grippos for God, Jay.
At least he didn't ruin Bo's giveaway.
I didn't do Bo's giveaway tonight. That's all.
Oral, have you seen the grippo seasoning where you can just sprinkle it on anything?
Yes, yes. And like that is so dangerous. Like my sodium levels would just get.
I only find grippos in like the stores in the shady part of town.
Oh yeah, that's part of the whole grippo
world, I think. So
that's the experience.
Like grippo, if you're listening, grippo, we would love like you know like
a sponsorship. Yeah. Like 20 yes. bucks would be awesome. I'd take that.
Just a free bag of grippos. What are you talking about?
Well, that's what I meant. Like $20 worth of chips, Jay. So like two bags.
Yeah.
Yes, Todd. There is seasoning. You can just buy the seasoning by itself and sprinkle it on anything. We need to send
you know, grippos make pop. You know, grippos makes popcorn too. Do you know that?
I do.
Yeah.
I know a sweet onion flavored one or something. I'm not big on that.
They have a Carolina. I think a Carolina barbecue flavor too. Yeah.
So welcome to our TED Talk about grippos.
Well, they're in Cincinnati, they're in Kentucky. They're in Cincinnati.
I know. Bo, we need to bail you. Do you like chips, Bo? You're a big chip fan.
Oh yeah, I like salty snacks more than sweets. Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
What do you mail? I'm just wondering. Bo, some grippos.
Can we? Is that going to be a customs issue? Sending food? I don't know.
I'm not sure.
What over the border?
I've never got food through the mail, so I've sent Smarties through the mail, but that's about it.
Well, you'll have some weird Smarties, yeah.
They might open. I mean, customs might open grippos and taste them. And you'll get like a bag that's like rolled.
And then tape
up
them up and send them back. Yeah. Just to make sure. Yeah.
With a chip clip on it.
They hot glue them on the top.
Yeah.
Like we had a taste test, quality check these for you. Where did this show go? What are we talking about, grippos?
I don't know.
There are two books everyone should be buying right now. Bo Johnson came out today with the Abram Files, Bishop Ryder book, and tomorrow, Laurel Hightower comes out with Silent Key.
Yes.
That's the show in a wrap, in a nutshell.
In a nutshell. Yep.
Now, last year when you guys had me on. Gross. Yeah. Last year when you guys had me on, there was this trivia portion that I failed at miserably. So I was talking with Laurel, and we decided to do our own trivia to each other. So
okay,
you guys don't kill us.
Let's do this.
So I have some
questions. This would be a good way to end the show here.
All right. Okay, Laurel. Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, sorry.
Are we going to say Brad?
Okay. I was going to say, what kind of trivia is it?
Well, I have three questions for Laurel.
Okay.
I think she can answer them. Yeah.
We help.
In the three books that I've read of yours, you write strong but flawed female leads. There's Rose from Whispers in the Dark, Chris in Crossroads, and Addie from Below. I'm going to assume the same will be said of Cam in Silent Key, but my question would be, besides that, how does she differ from the rest?
I feel like in a lot of ways, her life was initially more put together. She's had a fairly, you know, fairly reasonable, normal kind of like family upbringing, and stuff didn't really start to go off the rails until the death of her husband. So she's kind of reeling a little bit with, being thrust into a role she didn't really expect to have. So in those ways, she's different. And she's not quite as serious, I think, as, like Rose is necessarily, or Chris. She's a little bit more of a smartass. So
interesting. Nice. Okay, question two, multiple choice.
Oh.
You enjoy bourbon, if I recall.
Mm-hmm.
Correct?
Not Laurel. Yes. No, not at all. Yeah.
I think you're
if, say, we lost the ability, if, say, we lost the ability to produce this nectar of the gods, what would be, if any, your next beverage of choice?
Whiskey.
All right. Sold. And third, if you had to choose one book and one book alone to read for the rest of your life, why would it be Skeleton Crew by Stephen King?
Well, I mean, you've got all the little short stories. You've got, it's sort of like a great intro into his catalog, you know, and you got like little bite-sized horrors, and it's got a good range.
Yes. Agreed. Great answers. Great.
All right. I'm going to do yours now.
Yeah. Laurel's got something for you, right? All right. Bring it home.
Oh, real quick. Yeah. Is Skeleton Crew really your favorite Stephen King collection, Laurel? Or was that just Bo making you choose that one?
Yeah. That was me.
Don't
I was gonna say with, I don't am do a just, break character asking. Now. I don't know.
I was gonna say Brad, don't ruin things with the truth.
I'm sorry.
Okay, so it, particularly with the Abram Files, I noticed that a lot mm-hmm. of sort of new characters were introduced into it. You know, sort of supporting characters for Jeremiah. And then of course as mm-hmm. the timeline has gone on for Bishop, he's also sort of collected people, you know, in there. So what is your, do you generally have like a panoply of people that you're looking to choose from it to like play a certain role, or do they just sort of like pop up, and do you have plans to maybe spin any of the rest of them off?
Great question. Yeah. No, I have no plans, but no, it just happened. Like, it's sort of like how Ryder at the beginning had Batista, and then Ray, who was like a detective, Batista, and then Ray was like his builder, Marcus and Everett. They sort of just filled those voids. I just seemed to bounce off. Like, four is a good number for me. I have a fifth unnamed narrator, and I seem to, the power of five or the five character seems to work with me. But I don't think I'll ever spin them off. No.
Okay. Of course, never say never. But.
Right, yeah, never two. Say never. Yes, you're right.
Question two. There have been a couple of interesting animal kills that have taken place where they've been involved, not where anything happened to the animals, but the animals sort of assisted. So what is yes. one that you would want to use, but maybe haven't quite? Like, what's an animal that creeps you out that you think would be a good one to include that you haven't yet?
In a Ryder story?
Mm-hmm.
I would say a snake, because I hear, you know, it's hard for a snake to eat a man whole, but if you break the shoulders, it can be done. So I'm working on it. Yeah.
Come on.
I mean, well, anaconda, you know, John Boyd, yes, like getting all swallowed up.
Lower that jaw. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I did write a story once with a snake in it that did that, but never in a Ryder story. Yeah.
Nice. And then, okay, final question. Where did you get the fabulous bob wig that you use in your famous videos? Because it's magnificent. So I got to know.
Thank you. And I think it was my wife ordered it online. So I really don't know where it came from, but she helped me order it. Yeah.
So she told you she ordered it, but she just came to you with this wig one day.
No. I said I needed one and she just went and found it and ordered it.
No, I like my story better. Let's go.
She ordered it. Nudge, nudge, wink, wink.
Nudge, nudge. Grow your hair, Johnson. Yeah, yeah.
She brought it over and said, the owner doesn't need it anymore. There you go.
Our safe word is Thanos. Yeah.
Yeah. Bye, Matt. Thank you for coming.
Bye, Matt.
Bo Johnson, you're off the hot seat. All right. You guys both survived your trivia at each other.
It's nice when the guests ask each other questions. Jay,
we don't have to do much work, right? We don't have to do an intro. We don't have to come up with questions. We're just here hitting buttons. Well, I don't even do that. Brad's doing that.
No, Jay just does absolutely nothing. But
he just looks pretty. Yeah.
He just looks pretty.
And he's got the nice mic set up, so he looks very professional there.
Yeah. There you go. There you go. Well, that has worn me out this whole hour, so I'm done. It's over with. Two books everyone should be buying right now.
Yeah,
Bo Johnson and Laurel Hightower. Both of you, thank you so much for deciding to spend your release time with us. That didn't even sound right. Spinyard.
I do like a good release, but yeah, that was a little.
Oh my god,
we're not even at 10 o'clock yet. What time is it? It's eight. Wow,
it's
that's
eight,
still kind
of 8 o'clock.
This is PG.
Yeah, this is
what it's 8 o'clock. Do you know where your children are? Did they hear that joke?
They're running. They better not be watching. I don't allow
this
them
went
to.
Downhill so fast. So we were almost. What is, Jay, the what finish line was in. The finish line was right there, Jay. It was right there. You just had to reach out and cross it.
It's a wrap. That's the way it's in trouble.
You got demonetized right at the very end.
Thank you guys for having us, though.
Yeah, thank you both for wanting to celebrate the release of your new books, both of you, with us. It's an honor. It's a privilege. We always love it when people want to do that, you know. Spend time with us and, you know, launch your book out into the world. So we appreciate that. People wanting to do it with us. We really do. See, Brad, I brought it back. I was sincere for a second.
Brad, can we do a quick shout out to the event next week?
Yes. So yes. Wednesday, what is it, the 18th?
Yeah, Wednesday, October 18th.
At Pivot Brewing in Lexington, Kentucky is Butcher Cabin Book Fest, which Laura will be there and a bunch of other authors. Cynthia Palaio will be there. I'm going to forget everyone's names. Laura,
Tim Wagner, Chris McGinley, local, Lexington. Yes. Excellent writer.
Chris McGinley will be there.
Nice. But there's a bunch of folks. I know. Oh, hold my
on.
Gosh.
Let me get everyone's names. I've got them on the computer.
Thank you. Yeah. Brad, very, very, very kindly created a whole bunch of graphics for it. So.
Let me grab everyone's name real quick.
Jessica Leonard.
Thanks, Russell.
Jessica Leonard will be there.
Yep.
Hold on. Sorry.
For those listening to audio only, Brad is thinking.
I hear the whirling.
Let's see.
Hit the any key. You'll find it.
Let me pull it up here.
The pressure's on. He's sweating.
I am sweating. It's actually very cold coming back to Kentucky from on fall break, Jay, by the way.
Yeah, jeez. My fall break was great. How was yours, Brad?
It was fantastic. It was really funny. We talked to a few people down there that were strangers, and like every single one of them was from Kentucky, so they were all on fall break.
Nobody else is out of school at that time, so you probably had the whole state to yourself, the whole beach and everything.
Jay thinks that Kentucky kids are pansies because they take a fall break after like 7 or 8 weeks of school.
No, it's because we're greater than everybody else. So
we don't need to work as hard. That's what it is.
We don't. Yeah, we're smarter than everybody else.
This is turning into like
John. Okay, so John Palisano. Tom Detty. This is bad.
Anton, how do you say Anton's last
name? Yeah, Anton. Yeah, Anton. Kanker, I think. Yeah.
Okay. We have Alex Esteban will be there. Chris McGinley, Andrew Schaefer, Cynthia Palaio, James Maddox, Jessica Leonard, Nicole Cushing, J.H. Markert, Tim Wagner, Tony Evans, and then you sent some other ones. Let's see.
John Palisano and Tom Detty. Yeah.
And Laurel Hightower will be there.
Sounds like a great event. Yeah.
Hosted by Jennifer Kiefer from Butcher Cabin Books.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll have horror bingo and, you know, drinks and like sales and everything. So Red.
Thanks, Red. Thanks for backing me up on that.
Todd's still on fall break.
You know why? Because he's from Kentucky.
He knows about fall break. Okay. It does exist. So yeah, if you're in the Lexington, Kentucky area, stop by Pivot Brewery. It's from 5 to 9 Wednesday the 18th. It benefits the Lexington Public Library.
Yeah.
Get some author signing, play some games, have some drinks with your favorite horror authors. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm going to be there, and that's the only reason you should go.
What else do you need to know? Brad's going to be there.
Is it going to be trivia?
There could be. There very much could be trivia. Laurel, we can do some bar trivia, Laurel.
Have you watched any of the movies the trivia was on your episode from since then? Since no. I gave you homework.
No.
Like,
did you get an assignment?
Yes.
Maybe next time.
From, yeah, I had trivia from like The Godfather and Scarface. And all, he's like, well, I haven't seen any of
that. I haven't seen any of that. I remember. Yeah.
Yeah. Russell, just forget whatever you're doing and drive to Lexington on Wednesday. Yeah, next Wednesday. You'll be good.
You know, I'm sure that no one has work or any other commitments at all. But yeah. It's the lead up right to Scarefest.
Right in the middle of the week. Scarefest. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Scarefest is what, Thursday through Sunday, I think?
I think so. Yeah. Yeah. So,
Jay, right, thank you. Come down here for the weekend, Jay. Come down for the weekend.
We're not that far.
Come on, Jay. Drive down. You could go to the event and then you could go to Scarefest.
He'd have to go to bed at like 4 p.m. though, so I'm not sure.
Just have your wife chauffeur you down so you don't fall asleep.
Yeah. I get my nighttime nap between like 10:30 till 3. That's my
nighttime nap.
My nighttime nap. All right. That's it. Laurel,
thank you.
Thanks so much.
Thanks
again, guys. Bye-bye. Dave Rapala is available now. Go pick it up. Silent Key is available tomorrow. Pick it up as well from your favorite book places.
Bizarre. Everyone in the chat, thanks for joining us. Thanks for joining
yes,
in.
Yes, thank you.
Congrats to our winners. I already forgot who they were, by the way.
I remember.
And,
I know one.
Pepperidge Farm remembers.
Laurel won one of them.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. That's it. That's a wrap. See you guys. Yeah. Thanks.
See you guys. Laurel, both. Bye-bye. Thanks for hanging out. Love you, Jay.
Thank you.
I know
you.